What's up, everybody? This is your girl, Monique Duel, and welcome to a brand new episode of Having a Moment with Moni, streaming here on the Hot Radio Network, all the way from Benin, Nigeria. Hey, family. Hey, I pray that something that I say would challenge you, change you, and help you see God better than you did yesterday. All right. Listen, follow me all over social media. I am Monique Duel, just about everywhere except IG. I am Miss D Rein, MSDEEREIGN. You could check out my link tree at linktr.ee/Monique Duel to find Grief is a Gangster, Jeremiah the Jackrabbit, Caregiver CPR, How Do I Handle a Special Needs Child, as well as our merch. We got hoodies, we got shirts, we got all kind of goodies. So head on over there, check us out. A lot of our appearances are over there. You could drop us a line on social media. I do respond to all of my messages and stuff like that, but don't act crazy, y'all. Don't do that. Don't just come say, hey, you know, let's have a real conversation. Can we do that? Amen. I love you guys so much. Thank you for your love and support, for your prayers over these past few weeks. I need all of them. And so before I continue, I want to give a special, special thank you to Dr. Venicia Williams, who is phenomenal for, first of all, in such a grandiose way. She does a lot of things. She does coaching, she does ministry and all those kinds of things. I was blessed to be in the number to receive the Power of Love Ministries UK Certificate of Achievement Champion Leadership Award. And I am so grateful for her and for Ambassador Dr. White, who is the Vice President of the Power of Love Ministry. It was phenomenal. Your girl was dressed and giving them face. Y'all, my outfit was screaming London, y'all. I had a nice blazer from the Betsy Johnson collection. I just looked like I needed to be in London. It was dope. I took pictures and all that. Missed the ceremony because we had the time frame wrong, but that's okay. We received our very beautiful award, and it is something that I'm so proud of. I'm most proud of. I am international, y'all. Listen, when God opens the doors and opens your territory and enlarges your territory, what shall you say to these things? But thank you, God, right? So thank you, Dr. Venicia Williams, Ambassador Dr. Venicia Williams, and for all of your love and your support and prayers. And so let's move on, shall we? I don't know where I left you guys at last in this conundrum of trying to find accessible housing for Jeremiah, but we're still looking. So the apartment complex that I told you guys about, I think I told you guys about it. I was waiting to hear back from the first Southern Management property. Reached out to us because they were supposedly had a 3-bedroom on the terrace level. By the time we did all this, you know, back and forth with paperwork, I had to get the new copy of Jeremiah's ID because they kicked him out of the system. I did not know that the ID that I had in my wallet was the old one and not the new one. And so that's what started the issues with them going back and forth. Instead of them just saying, instead of them saying, hey, Ms. Duel, your son's ID is expired. All they said was, you have to bring him in with his social security card because he was pinged in the system. Really? You didn't catch that error either? But anyway, needless to say, excuse me, y'all, we transferred from that Southern Management property and went to another one. Now, this high-rise building has a unit on the ground floor, okay? Ground floor, you just wheel in, wheel out, and all that. They sent me back and forth for the same reason. I had to get, get the new copy of the ID, which I had. I just don't know where it was. So since I could not find it, I had to order another one and wait, you know, for it to come in the mail, which I don't even understand why DMV does that when you're literally there. You have to sit there and wait. That's ridiculous. But that's another thing. Finally came, you know, turned everything in or whatever and stuff like that. They had asked me for something before that. So I had already gone to this complex like twice or three times already, the new complex. And they were still saying, oh, we need this. Oh, we need that. Oh, we need this. Oh, we need that. So then they finally called me on yesterday and asked me about an address that showed up when they did my background check. And I told them, I said, well, that's my aunt's house. What does that have to do with, you know, me applying for the apartment or whatever the case may be? They was like, we were just asking because it showed up, you know, in your profile. Did you used to use her address for mail or something like that? I was like, no. I said, I don't know why it's popping up. And I didn't realize until after it was over, because I had, when we first got our vehicle and stuff like that or whatever, my aunt paperwork went there for the car. So anyway, needless to say, they finally called me back and said, hey, you know, you were approved for the unit or whatever. So here we go. I'm like, mm-hmm. And so they had gave us so much trouble with paperwork. They kept asking for stuff. So before then, I said, excuse me, what else do you need? Because they're saying, well, we need this or we need that. The last thing they asked for was Jeremiah's proof of SSI letter. Now, you know, we just don't have those laying around. And if we do, you know, SSI give those to us in December before the new year comes in. And so at this point, since it's April, it would have been considered too old, because you know how some agencies are. They're like, it's over 30 days old, just in case the amount changed. Now, they had his bank statement, y'all, that had almost a year of payments. It's the same amount. They were like, well, we can't use the bank statement because it could have changed. You have seen from December, you know, from January coming to present day, it has not changed. So I was like, what else do you need? And he was like, we don't need anything else. I said, what else do you need? He was like, I promise, Ms. Dude, we don't need nothing else or whatever and all that, which was a lie, because the lady did call me and ask me to verify my aunt's address and who she was. I'm like, that has nothing to do with the apartment. Y'all, listen, you would have thought I was moving into the White House. The way I have been poked and prodded and investigated and this and that, I don't even think the government does that much as this Southern management group does with doing background checks and stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous. But needless to say, they called her yesterday, said, oh, everything looks great, Ms. Dewey. You've been approved for the apartment or whatever. And so I say this to them. I said, great. I'll be able to move in June 1st. So they get quiet. He gets quiet and says, Ms. Dewey, I don't think we can hold the apartment that long because it's been empty for quite some time already. I said, okay, is that my fault or my problem? No, it's not. I said, if you guys would have done the paperwork like you should have in the beginning, we would have been able to move in May, but you took too long. It is the middle of April. I cannot submit a 30-day notice at this point without having some penalty where I will have to pay for the couple of weeks or whatever. You know how people are. They want their money. I told him, I'm not paying two rents. That's not happening at this point. I said, you already know how this works. You are in property management. Let's not play with each other. He said, well, we got two other units coming up on the third or fourth floor. And I said, sir, we're not talking about the third or fourth floor. I already told you when I came here to apply, I am not interested. My son is in a wheelchair. What sense would that make for me to live in on a higher floor with an individual who's an invalid, who can't even go to the window to jump out of it if there was a fire, who can't even walk down the stairs if you have a fire drill? And he got quiet. And he said, yeah, you're right. I said, I know I am. So if they're not going to allow us to have the apartment that I applied for, where our business is done. Okay. First of all, it's not even a 3-bedroom. It's a 2-bedroom. But I was willing to take it so that I could relinquish this house to the owner and close this chapter. So now I'm right back to square one, y'all, or ground zero, if you will. Yeah. Listen, it has been an adventure, y'all. And, I have learned a lot during this process of learning how to wait patiently and how to pray for a specific thing and how to seek God. I have checked out, y'all, seriously. After that, I had checked out for a long time with the whole moving thing, because I'm like, I know that I have literally done all that I know to do. And I'm like, God, what am I missing? What am I not seeing? Is, you know, why am I circling this mountain? Why? I clearly have the salary to pay for any apartment and all that sort of stuff. So my question is this, you guys, and I thought about this. Who are these other people doing background checks with that says that I am not good enough for an apartment, yet this apartment complex company approved me with no problem? Same information, same income, same credit score. You see what I'm saying, y'all? It's like, I know it's a dead cat on the line. Somebody need to tell me something because it doesn't make sense. You have to make it make sense to me. Who are you that you so uppity or whatever, and you're saying that I'm not good enough, you know, income wise and credit wise, but here I am being approved for this apartment that costs the same price as yours, if not more. And so I've been stuck there, y'all. I've been stuck there. I'm like, these people are playing with people's, you know, livelihood and emotions and things like that. They're playing these games that's really not cool. You know, who are you to say that I'm not a good fit for, you know, your units and stuff? I've been at this place that I'm at right now for 15 whole years. I've never been late on rent or anything like that. That speaks volumes. 15 years. And you're still talking about, no, Ms. Dewey, you don't qualify. So I had to let the anger go, y'all. And the disappointment and the frustration and the confusion, because I'm like, Lord, I don't get it. I had to encourage myself, and I still am, because I'm just, like I said, I'm just trying to get past this point, close this chapter of my life and move on to the next thing that God has for me. I'm like, why is this happening, Lord? Why? What am I doing wrong? What am I missing? And so, like I told you guys, I had not applied for anywhere else. I'm not kicking out no more money for application fees and hold fees and stuff like that, unless I hear from the Lord, because, you hear stories of resilience all the time where you hear people say they would deny over and over and over again for a job or a position or for this or for that. And how God brought them through it. And those are the things that I hold on to, because I'm like, God, God, you already know this. I've been denied more than 10 times. And for what? One thing I know, y'all, I'm not going to be stuck here. That's the word I want to use. I'm not going to be stuck here with nowhere to go and things like that. But I'm like, Lord, something has to give, because she, you know, she's antsy or whatever. She came by, the landlord came by the other day to bring a fire extinguisher, y'all. Why was she standing outside peeking through the gate of the backyard, you know, looking at the dogs? She just peeking through the gate and doing all that kind of stuff. She, you know, she walking around, you know, looking at stuff and all that, like we had an earthquake and her house was damaged or something. These are the kinds of things that I have to deal with my landlord. You would have thought that, you know, I have done some sort of significant damage to her house or something like that. You know, I understand, you know, that if you're a homeowner, you know, you want to make sure your place is kept. I get all that. But just to roll up out the blue. Now, y'all, we live on a dead end street. So if you come here, you come here deliberately. We're not on the main road or whatever where you're just driving by going, hey, Mo, I was in the neighborhood. No, you deliberately have to come here. So we're on a dead end street with no outlet, which means there's only one way in and one way out. So for her to just be driving by out the blue, you know, when I'm entertaining or whatever the case may be, waving and all that, driving up and down the neighborhood, doing all that, you know, that's that kind of psycho stuff that I don't like, you know. And but on the flip side, y'all, puts me in the mind of God. God is watching over us. His eyes roam to and fro. He knows where we are, what we're doing, what we have need of, what we don't have need of. And so while that her actions may seem like something that makes you feel uncomfortable, guess what? God watches us the same. We never know when he's coming, what he's doing or anything like that, unless we engage him or spend time with him or have that relationship with God as his servant. And let's be honest, y'all. There are times when we want God to show up and see everything because we want to avenge and all that kind of stuff. And there's times when we want God to hide his face. Don't lie. Yeah, we want God to hide his face and don't look upon it and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. We're not gonna act brand new on it. So this is what she does. And I'm used to it. However, what she's doing isn't warranted in my mind's eye. That's my opinion. I have been a stellar 15-year tenant. So what are you doing all that for? You have not painted not one wall. You haven't replaced not one carpet or none of that in 15 years. But you driving by like something is happening to your precious house. Only thing you've replaced is a refrigerator because it died and a stove because it died. You haven't done anything. You haven't changed the pipes and all that kind of stuff. You got hard water. You know, you still got the same original pipes from 30 years ago. They don't even make these pipes no more that's in this house. You see what I'm going, y'all? I don't like when people do those kinds of things when they're not willing to change. You're so, you know, you doing this camera focus snooping and spying and all this kind of stuff when you're not even writing yourself. So why are you pining after me in that way? Why are you doing all that, trying to do all this sneaky, you know, stuff that you think you're doing? You're not sneaking because the dogs hear you from down the street before you even get here. So they'll get to barking and snooping and sniffing. And the beautiful part was, y'all, my dogs didn't even bark at her. They sat in the yard and stared at her, staring at them. They didn't make no noise or nothing, but they sat with a posture of being attentive to who was standing in front of them or looking at them, if you will. See, this is the thing. Here we go. God, when God shows up, we should be attentive, just like my dogs were. They stopped everything they were doing, sat and waited to see what she was going to do next. They didn't move. They didn't bark. They were locked in and focused on what was in front of them. This is what God is saying. Yes, God, sit in his presence. Lock in on what he's saying to you and give and the instructions he is giving and has given you. Focus. Anticipate him when he shows up. Be excited when he shows up. Be in such awe that you don't do anything else. Nothing else matters. The whole world stops when the Lord shows up. And it does. The presence of God commands our attention and our allegiance. Oh God, that's all I'm saying. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen, that came all the way from heaven's mouth. Now say what you want. Yes, I don't like this process. I don't. And I told you guys before, pruning hurts. Because pruning is the act of cutting something away so that more growth can be produced. And here's the best part about pruning. It's beneficial to everything that's on the branch with it. Because then if I grow out and I'm pruned, then I branch out to touch you and you're on the same vine with Christ. Oh, come on here. And then you learn and you grow and then you get pruned and then it trickles down to the next person on the vine and the next person on the vine, the next person in the body of Christ. Don't you see? It is necessary. It's painful, but it's necessary. No, we don't want to get cut. We don't want to get surgery. We don't want to get stitches. We don't want to get none of that. Because that's not looked at as something that's quote unquote normal. Surgery means that something happens so dangerous within your body that if we don't cut and remedy the situation, it is life threatening. Oh God, whoa, I felt you there. Listen, pruning is if you don't get pruned, it's life threatening because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We will continue to sin. And then the soul that sinneth shall die, says the word. Huh? I don't hear y'all. I don't hear you. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So pruning is necessary because the lack of pruning is life threatening. Oh, good God Almighty here. I'm trying to tell you. You don't understand. I know you don't understand it. You don't like it, but it's necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary for pruning to happen. God has to cut away the things that are not beneficial for us. He has to cut off people that are not beneficial to us, because we want to hold on to everything. We're hoarders. We are hoarders. We're friendship hoarders. We don't want our friends to have other friends other than us. We're relationship hoarders. We don't know how to be in a healthy relationship. We, you know, a lot of us are clingy and overbearing and all that kind of stuff, because we're trying to prevent ourselves from being hurt or being cheated on. We're hoarders. We hoard stuff. We get new stuff or whatever, and the stuff don't even serve us no more. God tell us to give it away. We're trying to hold on to it because we spent money for it. We don't want to part with anything. We want to, you know, appear like we got everything going on or whatever. We don't want to appear to look like our lives are falling apart. We don't want to appear to be dismantled or dysfunctional. Listen, all of us are dysfunctional. That's why the blood of Jesus covers. That's why Jesus had to come and die. Because if we were perfect, we would not have need of him in that manner. So all of us are dysfunctional. We got family members who are dysfunctional. We're all tore up from the flow up. In some way, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And we need the Lord. There's not a day that we don't need the Lord. There's not a day that we don't need prayer. Okay. And so when you go through these issues and situations in your life, and baby, we're going through, all of us are experiencing something. This right here, I'm tired of talking about it. This whole thing with housing, I'm tired of talking about it. And dealing with it, I'm like, okay, let me focus, because I have lost my focus and doing whatever it is that I was supposed to have been doing before this happened, or even during this process, because all I could concentrate on is, God, just don't let us be outside. God, just don't let us be outside. God, just don't let us be outside. Don't let us get sued in court because we didn't move and all that kind of stuff. Don't you know God knows who you are and what your address is and what you need and all that kind of stuff? God knows all that already. All this time that went by, y'all, I could have been writing a new book or finished it. I could have done quite a few things concerning this ability, but did I do them? No. So I had to go back and repent, because my focus was on the wrong thing. God has clothed the birds and the fish in the sea, the birds of the air. They neither toil nor spin, yet they got food every morning when they go outside. They find worms and stuff to feed their babies. They make nests and stuff with branches and figs and trees and all this other kind of stuff. What you think he gonna do for you? What more won't he do for you as his child, his creation? We are the expressed image of God. We are the living proof that there is a God. We are the expressed manifestation when he spoke and said, let there be. Let us make man in our own image. Everything he spoke had a corresponding action. When he said, let there be light, there was light. The light responded to the voice print of God. Oh, when he said, let there be the firmaments and all that kind of stuff, the firmaments, oh yeah, at the sound of his voice, oh God. Hey, woo, at the sound of his voice. They didn't ask God, why are you asking me to form a firmament? Why are you asking me to be a fish? I don't want to be a fish. I don't want to be water. I want to be fire. I don't want to be fire. I want to be sky. I want to be clouds. We complain too much in the body of Christ. We don't want to be the hands, and we don't want to be feet. We don't want to be the knees. We don't want to be the back. We want to be the eyes, and we want to be seen. We want to be the head and all that kind of stuff. All of us can't be that. Respond in obedience to when God brings his word to you. Sit in attentiveness and lock in on what he's saying to you in this season, because it matters, y'all. It don't matter what the world is doing, y'all. It really don't. I know we're affected by it to a degree, but it doesn't matter, because only, listen, the word of the Lord concerning you shall stand, period, period. His word cannot return to you void. Why? Because he's God. I gotta go, y'all. I love y'all. I do. y'all pray for me. I did. I finally, y'all took charge, you know, of my health and went to go get my test done and all that kind of stuff. I didn't like what the results were and things like that. That means I got to get busy. I wrote the book Grief is a Gangster. Let me tell you, grief is a gangster. And instead of me losing weight, and I thought I was losing weight, and I was for a period of time, I have gained more weight than I thought I did. Because of the pressures of life that I allowed to affect me. The pressures and the stress and the deadlines and the this and the that. I wasn't sleeping properly, y'all. I wasn't eating properly, y'all. Because remember, I'm dealing with tummy issues and all those kinds of things that I have to get a colonoscopy and all that for. So between the stress and the not being able to sleep and sometimes not being able to have full meals and going through these, you know, this bloating and all that kind of stuff, my body has been through hell. And I'm suffering for it. I'm having to deal with things that I had not had to deal with not even 5 months ago. But the good news is now that I know what's going on with me. See, here's the revelation. Watch this. Now that it has been revealed what the problem is, I now know how to go to God about it and discipline my flesh and let him continue to prune me so that I won't have to circle this mountain again. Above all, God says, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's a process. If my soul don't prosper, my I'm not going to be in health. Uh-oh. If we don't use wisdom and discipline, we're going to continue to suffer in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirit. Oh God, I thank you today. Whew, that was a mouthful, y'all. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, this is your moment. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus, you don't know Abba, you don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is, listen, we're supposed to make his name great. He enlarges our territory and put us before great men. We already know that, but we're supposed to make his name great. We're supposed to tell everybody about Jesus, because without God, we're nothing. We're not even breathing our own air. Okay. We can't even breathe without the Lord, point blank at the period. So if you're mad at God and you're disappointed and all that, like all of us have been or are, go back to God. If you don't know him and you don't have a relationship with him, first thing is repent and mean it. Father, listen, I done screwed up so many times and I continue to screw up. Father, forgive me for my sin and invite him to be your Lord and Savior. Lord, I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I don't necessarily know what that means. All I know is that this is not life and I need you. This is not living. I'm in survival mode. I need the life that you died for, the life more abundantly. I need you. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I don't know what to do next. I don't even know where to go from here. But God, I need you. Father, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Simple as that. The Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could just say, Jesus, save me. And that bam, boom, blossom. That's it. We listen, y'all, we do too much overthinking and grandiose things, and God don't require that. He is the most loving and simplistic God. He is grandiose. He does all things well, but the stuff that man said that you have to go through, the hoops to get to God and all that, you don't. Have a conversation with God. 52 cards of God. This is who I am. This is what I've done. Father, I'm asking you to wipe my slate clean. Forgive me and save me from my sins. And if you've done that, welcome to the body of Christ. We love you. We pray that God will change your life monumentally, and he will if you let him, and that you do what God has called you to do. Because guess what? There's a calling. and you hear God. You feel God tugging at your heart and at your spirit. You hear him telling you about that book, that business, that ministry, that product, who you think it came from. You don't think these things are your own. You don't have the capacity to create anything on your own. Stop saying you're a self-made. You're a self-made nothing. You're a self-made sinner. Oh, God. Oh, 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 God. Woohoo. Listen, I didn't say that. He did. You're a self-made sinner. That's the only thing you can self-make yourself do is sin. Other than you, and even then, okay, we're not even going to go that deep. But welcome to the body of Christ. And listen, search for a church home. Or as I say, shop for a church home, second step. Say it with me, y'all, who listen to me all the time. Don't just join the church because your mama, Pookie, and them, Bebe, Shay Shay, and Ray Ray go there. That may not be where God wants you to be. God is not a cult. He's a movement. Mm-hmm. Sit and listen to make sure that the person is teaching and preaching the inerrant word of God, and that the fivefold ministry gifts are being used: prophecy, exhortation, teaching, preaching, intercession, all of that. We don't want to be under no stingy pastors who don't want to hold all of God for themselves and don't want you to grow and don't want you to fly and all that kind of stuff. They want to stay in the office until they literally die. That's not God. Try the Spirit by the Spirit, the Bible says. Make sure that the word is being preached and that people's lives are being changed, and you're not just gathering every Sunday to waste your time. You can gather anywhere on Sunday. You go to the park, you go to the movies and all that, and all that kind of stuff. Make sure that you're gathering in his name to do the work of the Lord, not the work of the church. There's a difference. And grow. Make sure you're growing spiritually. Sit and learn of God. Don't just up and join the choir and all these auxiliaries and stuff like that. All of those things are neither here nor there. If God didn't tell you to go there, you're just doing it as a hobby. It's a hobby to you. Find out where your ministry is, what God wants you to do. Yes, we know you can call 12 demons from hell and all that kind of stuff, and you've been anointed for the nations. We get all that. But you have to learn of God. Learn to hear his voice. Learn to hear Holy Spirit's direction. Sit and get acclimated with Christ. Then let him give you your charge, and then you go on about your godly business and do what God has called you to do. Is that all right? Yeah. And find your community of believers who helps you draw closer to God, not helps you sin more because you say you're a Christian. Uh-oh. Yeah, you know that God, you know that people are on assignment, right? And they don't have nothing else better to do than to try to tear down your relationship with Christ by getting you to do all kinds of damnable things so that they can say, see, but you supposed to been a Christian. Okay. Don't give the enemy the ammo. He's the accuser of the brethren 24/7, but the Lord will raise a standard up against him. We will never be perfect. That's why repentance and seeking God and cleansing and pruning is necessary. He loves you. Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth on him might not die but have everlasting life. This is what I want. I want the everlasting life. I want the peace, the joy, all of those things that come with knowing, loving, and serving God. Listen, you go through things at work all the time, but you still go to work. You go through trials and tribulations at work. You go through trials and tribulations at the grocery store. You go to trials and tribulations in relationships. You go through trials and tribulations at the clubs and whatever it is you do. Whatever your habits or hobbies is that are not of God, you're going through hell. So if you're going to do all that for inanimate objects and people who don't mind and don't matter, you might as well let the Lord use you and change your life. Okay. I love y'all. Thank you for your love and support. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Having a Moment with Moni here on the High Radio Network. Oh, before I go, thank you, Holy Spirit. And if you have not experienced the Holy Ghost, he is a person, not an it. Ask him to fill you, F-I-L-L. He is a gift. He will fill you with evidence of speaking in tongue. Now, understand that when you do, you are a babe in Christ, so your language is going to sound like gibberish to you. Like babies, you know, babies start cooing and all that. You will start cooing in the spirit. You know, say syllables and things like that. It's not supposed to make sense to you because you're talking to God spirit to spirit. Keep going. Don't let the enemy tell you you ain't talented. I don't care if you say la la over and over again, bye bye, just keep going. When you feel the presence of God, keep going. And as you grow and as you pray and you worship and you draw closer to God, your tongues will change. Your heavenly language will change because you have changed, okay? Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't panic. Go with the process, okay? I love y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Having a Moment with Moni here on the award-winning Hod Radio Network, streaming all the way from Benin, Nigeria. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We love you. We honor you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, for you are God and you are good. You are God and God alone, and besides you, there is none other. There will never be none other, Father. And we acknowledge you in this place. You are the fairest of 10,000. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Father. Bless every person under the sound of my voice who will hear this broadcast, Father. Minister to them in the way that they will know that it is you, that is unmistakably you. And let them cry out to you, God, and surrender once and for all of that pain, all of that turmoil, Lord God. Father, I thank you for meeting every need in our lives according to your riches and glory. I thank you for Holy Spirit who gives correction, direction. Oh God, we thank you and we love you, for this is the day that you have made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, bless Hod Radio Network and Pastor Daniel for the amazing work that they're continuing to do. Father, continue to enlarge their territory and supply their needs, oh God, and supplies that they need to better the network that they have built in your name, Lord God. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen, don't forget, you guys, to reach out to me, drop a line, leave a comment on Spotify, like, share, and follow with your family and friends. Grab a book or two, a t-shirt or two. I do sign all of my books. If you order them directly from me, you can inbox me for further details. I have 2-day shipping, and I will sign them and all that and send them to you. And until next week, I love you guys, and thank you for tuning in. I'm gone.